We will have time in the end. This morning, I want to talk to you about reward. Do you know the Bible tells us about rewards? It's in Scripture that believers will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ and rewards will be handed out. Yes. Think about it. Those of us that are parents, you've been a parent, you know. You do like to reward your children, don't you? How much more our loving Heavenly Father wants to reward His children. Yes, it's in Scripture. I think very often we think, oh, I'm just so glad, as long as I make it into heaven, I don't really care. But actually, that's not true. Because we are motivated by reward. We are motivated by reward. And God motivates people. Reward, inheritance, prize, these are crowns, these are all words that Scripture uses to describe rewards that God wants to give to His people. I remember years ago I listened to Bill Johnson preach, and he was saying, don't kid yourself that you don't want a crown. What else are you going to throw at the feet of Jesus when you see Him? Wow, think about that. What else are we going to put at the feet of Jesus when we meet Him if it's not the reward that He gives us? So beautiful, so beautiful. Now, while we were on holiday, I read a book by R.T. Kendall about ambition. Ambition, motivation, what motivates people. Very often as Christians, we don't talk about ambition. There is godly ambition and there is fleshly ambition. Two different things. But godly ambition is a gift from God. It's a good thing. God has put something inside every one of you and inside of me. And a godly ambition. It's a good thing. It's a driver. It drives us to serve the Lord. That is a godly ambition. But the fleshly ambition is another thing. And R.T. Kendall, he quotes Martin Luther, the reformer. I was taken aback by this one. Martin Luther lived from 1483 to 1546. So this is a long time ago, more than 500 years ago. And he said, this was his opinion, God uses sex to drive man to marriage, ambition to drive a man to service, and fear to drive a man to faith. What motivates you? In your Christian life, how has God motivated you? Have you been motivated by the love of God? Put your hand up. Have you been motivated by the love of God? Have you been motivated by the fear of God? Yes. So we experience both. The fear of God and the love of God are, in a sense, the same thing. Because the Scripture says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, right? The fear of God, we are on our way and we are tempted to go this way and the Lord says, no, the fear of God comes upon us and we stop. It's His love that stops us by the fear of God. The fear of God is our treasure. When the fear of God comes upon us, it's, whoa, the terror of the Lord. But likewise, it says, it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. So His love draws us to Him as well. So both are motivating factors. Both of them are. Napoleon is quoted as having said, men are moved by two levers only, fear and self-interest. Maybe there's some truth in that one. So let's start off by looking at ungodly or selfish ambition. And in Scripture, we see a really good example of that. Remember when the way back in the Old Testament and they wanted to build the Tower of Babel. That was a selfish motivation. God had not told them to do this. So let's look at Genesis 11 and verse 4. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heaven. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. They wanted to make a name for themselves. Do you see how that was not a godly ambition? That was not a godly motivation. That was themselves. Let us make a name for ourselves. They wanted, it was a self-interest. But they did not do, it was not initiated by God. It was against the will of God. So that is an example of selfish ambition. Let's look at examples of how God, through the years, have motivated his people. And how godly people have had godly ambition. Let's look at Abraham. Remember, Abraham was told by God, look at the stars, count them. And that's what the generations coming from you will be like. Wow. Wow. Look at the stars and start to count. He runs out of numbers trying to count all the stars. Genesis 12, 1 to 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We are blessed today because of Abraham. That's what it says. All the families in the earth will be blessed. We are blessed today. Praise God. This was the promise of the Lord to Abraham. And it motivated him. He got up. He left everything he knew. He kept walking. He kept going, looking for this land that God was showing him. He moved because of what God had spoken to him, because of the promise of God. This was his motivation. So it was a deep, deep God ambition in his heart. And he kept going all of his life. He believed because of that. That is a godly ambition. I'll give you another example. Moses. Moses. And he's described in Hebrews 11, in the 5th chapter, in verse 26. I'm now reading from the New Living Translation. It said, he thought it was better to suffer for the sake of Christ than to own the treasures of Egypt. For he was looking ahead to his great reward. Moses, unashamedly, was looking towards his reward. As Christian people, we are not living for what is happening right now as such. We are looking for the reward to come. We are always looking ahead. We don't look at the back. Don't turn back. The scripture always tells us, don't turn back. Your life before Christ, you confess your sin and that is forgiven, and God chooses to not to remember your past when you confess your sin. So we just always look ahead. God doesn't prophesy about your past. Okay? He prophesies about your future. But you look ahead. This is your motivation. You're going for gold. There's gold for every one of us if we follow the instructions of the Lord. And this is what Moses did. He did it so well. Of course, the ultimate example for us is Jesus himself, isn't it? Because what did he do? He never did anything on his own. He only did what he saw the Father do. 100% aligned with the will of God. Wow. That surely is our aim, to be 100% aligned with the will of God. And it says about Jesus in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. Jesus looked at the joy, the reward that was still to come. What would that joy be? Would that be you sitting in the kingdom of God? Would that be you saved and me saved from our sin? That's why he endured the cross. How glorious. How glorious. And then in the New Testament, Paul is such an example to us. He was looking towards his reward. Romans 8:18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And as we study the life of Paul, we see he chose a really disciplined life. He was 100% committed. Would you not agree when you read the book of Acts and when you read the epistles he wrote? You see, as his life progressed, he was more and more committed. More and more committed and determined. And I'm so inspired by Paul, because as his life progressed, you see the change, and you see that he came to a point where he was saying, should I stay here on this earth, or should I just go into glory? Yes, he chose. He made a choice. That's how close he walked with the Lord. Should I stay here? Should I go? Oh, I've got more to do. I'm going to stay. But he lived in that heavenly realm. I'm telling you, he lived in a different realm that we have reached. We've not reached that yet. Because it tells you about him that they stoned him and he was dead and they dragged him out of the town. And what did he do? He just got up and he walked back in. Death could not touch him. They stoned him. But he walked back in. He lived in the heavenly realm. And yet he lived in the earthly realm as well. The heavenly realm took over. And so they stoned him. He could just get up. Because of the realm that he lived in. He was looking for the reward. He said, this present suffering, oh, it cannot be compared. So what does that tell you about the reward that God has for us? When he's been stoned and shipwrecked and persecuted, he says, it has no bearing. It's nothing. It is nothing. That tells you something about the reward to come, doesn't it? I believe every one of us here today in our hearts, we just want, when our life is finished on this earth, what do we want the Lord to say to us? We want him to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Is that your desire? That's my desire. Good and faithful servant. What does a servant do? Does a servant do his or her own will? A servant does the master's will. Good and faithful. Notice the word successful is not in there. Notice. How does God measure us? How does he look at you and me? Are you good and faithful? Are you faithful? We are so brainwashed in this world to think about success the way the world thinks about success. But God looks at your heart. He looks at my heart. Are we faithful? Are we faithful in all things? God sees all things. And the reward is for being faithful. Faithful. John 5, verse 44. How can you believe who receive honor from one another and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Are we looking for honor from other people? Bad news. We should be looking only for honor for the true living God. God is the one that sees all things, not trying to impress people around us, but to be faithful to that which God has called us to. Every one of us here, we've all got different callings. Many of you are called into the marketplace, and that's really important. I remember many years ago, I got a prophetic word. It was one of the first times I think that Jeannie prophesied over me, and I didn't really know her. And in the prophetic word, there was a line there to say, God says, you have been faithful. And I thought to myself, I haven't done anything. I go to work every day. I do my best. I thought, to be honest with you, I was a little bit surprised. Not that I thought about myself as being unfaithful, but I was just kind of thinking, I've not gone out and done missionary work. I haven't built a church. I'm a bit surprised. It's only now looking back that I realise that God doesn't look at our lives the way we look at it ourselves. He sees what we do when there's nobody else there. He sees which choice we make at our work. Can you do the right thing and be unpopular when you go over the floor? Are you being kind to the neighbor or not? Nobody else sees, but God sees everything. I remember hearing a preacher, and he said, teenagers, listen to this. He said, when he was a teenager, he took off with this girl. And they went away from the homes and everything, and one thing led to another. And they weren't Christians. But then suddenly, he said, the thought came to both of them, God sees everything. And they said to each other, we better run and go home, because God sees everything. So although they were not Christians, they knew right and wrong. And they said, God sees everything, we better run home before something happens here. God sees everything. And he does speak to people through their conscience. He speaks through his word. When we are saved by grace. This is not by our works. Okay? You all know that. Ephesians 2, 8 to 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So, if you're born again by the Spirit of God, you committed your life to Jesus, you are saved. And you didn't do that, that's not by your works. That's not by your works. Those that reject Jesus all the way through until the end of their life, their destination will be eternal damnation. Those who receive Jesus, they will go to heaven. The Bible is very clear about that. However, we want to make sure that you know what the scripture teaches. Those that are saved, we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and be judged by him. That is what the Bible calls the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ. The Bible is really clear. Everything you do, every decision you make, it's important. How you live your life, how I live my life, it's important. If you keep the commandments of the Lord on God, it's important. God sees everything. He sees the intent of our heart. And one day, every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. That is where rewards will be handed out. If we haven't done what He's called us to do, we can lose the reward. You won't lose your salvation, but you can lose your reward. And we don't want to lose our reward, do we? We want to live according to His word. It depends how we respond to the word of God and the call of God since we came to Christ. Have we been obedient? Have we done that which He's called us to do? Colossians 2:6 talks about, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So when you come to the Lord, you have to continue walking. In the NIV it says, continue to live your lives in Him. It's an active, ongoing process, walking with the Lord. Yes, it's a journey, walking with the Lord. God doesn't bring you into the kingdom and say, oh, so glad you came into my kingdom, I'll see you in heaven. That's not what God says to us. Why? Because there's a process. There's a walking it out. Once you come to Him, He has work for us to do. He is working and chipping away at our personality and at our heart so that we can be conformed into the likeness of Christ. It takes us all our lives. By the grace of God. So it's obtained by walking in holiness, by gratitude, by being open to the Holy Spirit. Let's look at Philippians 3:15. Therefore let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. So it's talking about walking by the word and by the Holy Spirit. God will reveal things to you. If you press in, God will reveal to you. If there's an obstacle, God will reveal. If you press in, God will reveal it to you. What is the obstacle? He will. So there is the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Let's look at that one. This is a really key one. For we must all, this is writing to Christians, born again people, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Do you see that? According to what we have done, good or bad. This is the word of God. The New Living says, for we must all stand before Christ to be judged. We will each receive whatever we deserve for the good or evil we have done in this earthly body. So, if you've ever been wronged by another Christian, don't take revenge. Do not take revenge, because vengeance belongs to the Lord. Every person will be judged. Every person. So you just walk away and just leave that in the Lord's hand. Don't try to clear your own name. Look, God does not oversee anything and miss something. Nothing gets missed by God. So each of us, After this life, every one of us will stand before Christ and He will judge us. He will judge us. That should be our motivation. That should be our motivation to be disciplined in our Christian life, to live for the Lord, to worship the Lord, to do that which He's called us to do. And for every one of us, it is different. So don't start comparing yourself. Yes, we get inspired by each other. Were you not encouraged and inspired by the people that came and shared the word of the Lord, the prophetic words? and the word that God had given them. So we are inspired and encouraged by one another. But don't compare, oh, I should be doing because they are doing. Because every one of us are different. We're all different. It's not competition. We'll be judged against what God has called us to do. God is not going to look at me and say, oh, you are not like Sandy. You didn't prophesy like Sandy, because I'm not Sandy. He's not expecting me to fulfill Sandy's calling and the other way around, because each of us are different. In the same chapter in verse 11, it says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your conscience. The NIV says, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. So the fear of the Lord is a motivator for us. And the reward of the Lord is a motivator for us to get our lives right before the Lord. I can't lose my salvation. But if I mess up, I can lose my rewards. Yeah, that's what Paul says. Talks about 1 Corinthians 3:15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as so as through fire. The scripture talks about that our work, when the Lord Jesus will judge us, our works will be weighed up. Is it made from silver and gold, and will, or is it just like hay and stubble, and it'll just be burned up? And then they'll lose our reward because it was nothing. It was just based on our own earthly desires rather than that which was the will of God. So surely this is a major motivation for us to live holy lives. And teenagers, listen to me in here. Teenagers, listen to me. It is absolutely possible for you to live complete, holy, and pure lives. You do not need to be contaminated like the world. That's a lie of the enemy. The enemy sugarcoats sin, but on the inside it is rotten. It is rotten on the inside, and it leads to damnation and to death. It is possible. Because of what Jesus has done, we do not need to live in sin. He's given us the ability to live holy life. It says, if you sin, if, not when, because we should be living holy lives. But if we fall, we run back to him. James picked that nice song at the end there, run to the Father. That's what we do. If we mess up, we run to the Father. We want to have a short account, so that when we mess up, we immediately ask for forgiveness, so that it's put in our past, so that we don't lose our inheritance and our crown. Ephesians 5:3-7. This is for the church. This is written to the church. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity or greed among you, for such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. This is talking about the reward, the inheritance, not about your salvation. This is talking about the inheritance at the judgment seat of Christ. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshipping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in these things these people do. God disciplines his people. The unbelievers, he just lets them go based on their choice. And then after this life, they will stand before God at the great white throne room. But for the believers, when we get out of line, God disciplines us. Did you not hear that? So clear. For the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. He's talking to his people. Just like you do to your children. If your children disobey when they're small, you don't just ignore it. No, no. You do it for their own good. They have to learn. And so God's anger will fall. This is written to the church to save people. I think a really good example in the New Testament about this is Ananias and Sapphira. Remember, this was after the day of Pentecost, and the believers were so on fire on God, there was a spontaneous love of the gospel, and people spontaneously decided to sell their belongings and give all the money to the church and put it at the feet of the apostles. There wasn't a scripture telling them to do this. Do you understand? This was something that they just did because of the love of the heart that they had for the Lord and for the gospel. And they just decided to do that. They didn't have to do it, but they chose to do it. And so you have this couple. They were accepted and they were part of the church. They weren't ungodly people. They were saved people. But then they came and they lied to the Holy Spirit. But the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit was so strong that the revelation came to Peter right away. You have lied to the Holy Spirit. Why? They wanted to be accepted by the other church members. They wanted to do what the others were doing. They didn't have to do it. They could have just kept the property. Or they could have said, oh, we'll give half. But they lied. They wanted to please the people, not please God. They were looking at the other people and they wanted to fit in. So they dropped dead. The anger of God came upon them. Whoa, whoa. The fear of God came upon the whole church. If somebody drops down because they've lied to the Holy Spirit next to you, the fear of God will come on you and me as well, I'm sure. God does discipline us. Yes, he does. For our good. We must live according to God's law. I love Psalm 19. It talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And it goes on and on. God's law is perfect. Because of his law, we know when we are right and we are wrong, and we can adjust ourselves. And we adjust ourselves. It's really him adjusting us, but yeah, we go his way. If we didn't have God's law, we wouldn't know how to do that. So we should embrace the law of God. And then in verse 11, Psalm 19, verse 11, they are, talking about the law of God, a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. When we obey God's law, there is not just a reward, there is a great reward. You keep yourself pure, young people. There will be a great reward. That's what the Lord says. We walk according to his word. There is a great reward. Oh, there are the people around you that are unsaved. They don't really know. Don't worry. Don't even think if the people in the church are looking at you, admiring you. That's not important. You want to honor God. It is Jesus that will judge us. Not your neighbor, not your brother or sister. Jesus will judge every one of us. If we keep his commandments, there is a great reward. Great reward. That applies even down here. Last weekend, as you know, Melvin and I have been on holiday in Denmark, and last weekend we were invited to minister in a small church there. And Melvin shared the word again well, he had shared the word here, similar from Acts 15, 29. If you remember, the apostles came together and said, what are going to be the law for the Gentiles now that they've come into the kingdom of God? So Melvin shared that word and shared about the root causes for diseases. Listen to this, this is just, I find this very, very interesting. Because some people came in, didn't receive the word because, no, I don't really think that's what the Bible says, and they walked out the same. Other people came in and went, oh, that has been a sin, I want to repent. Then they received prayer and they walked out healed, because I checked up on the details afterwards. He shared the word about not consuming blood, not eating blood, and not drinking blood. And he shared about the word about not marking your body and having tattoos. And then the end of the meeting, some people, this chap was, it was his first time, and he's like, oh, there's nothing in the Bible about tattoos. So I just quickly looked it up, and I said, I gave the scripture reference. And everybody's going, oh, And then he says, yes, but that's to do with the dead. I said, well, actually, if you look at all the translations, I said, but it's up to you. This is what the word says. You see, because it's the Holy Spirit that convicts. We just share the word. So this person wasn't ready to hear that he had been actually unwise to take this tattoo. It was against the word of God. He wasn't ready to hear that. He wasn't ready. So he walked out the same way he came. Another lady came forward for prayer, and she decided to repent because she had a tattoo. And as she repented and we prayed, the Holy Spirit revealed that it was a spirit of strife that had entered in as a consequence, and we cast that out, and she was set free. So although she had a tattoo, which was to do with her marriage, it had brought in a spirit of strife, which was cast out. So she walked out in freedom. Why? Because the great is the reward for those that obey the commandments of the Lord. So when we've disobeyed and then we repent, God can set us free like that. But we have to come into alignment with God. If we sit around and we say, oh, it doesn't really matter, or I don't think that applies to me, we're going to walk out the same way we came. We have to adjust to God's law, not the other way around. So powerful. It's so powerful. So God's word is important. Every bit of it. In the year that we live now, we are in 2023, and in the way of thinking, in our way of thinking, normally you think, oh, a tattoo is not really that important. If you eat a bit of black pudding, it's not really that important. But it's not what God thinks. So there was this godly woman, and she said, I have been asking the Holy Spirit over and over and over why I'm not getting healed from this particular condition. I have asked and asked. I have repented from everything. I have forgiven everybody. I have asked, I've asked, I've asked. I said, well, if you ask, God will reveal it. She said the only thing was today when Melvin mentioned about eating black pudding, she said, when I was a child. I said, well, that will be it then. Because you've asked God, and this is the only thing that's come forward, so that will be the root cause then. Because we just read it that says, God will reveal even this to you. If we seek Him, He will reveal what the obstacle is. If we haven't received a healing, there will be an obstacle somewhere. And if we press in, the Holy Spirit will reveal what it is, because that's what He says He will. So she decided to repent. Forgive her parents for giving her. She was just a child, you know, and she was eating the food that she was given, and her parents probably didn't really know. So she released forgiveness to her parents, asked God to forgive her. Then we prayed over her, And I phoned back with my family and checked. Totally healed since then. Totally healed. Because it came into alignment with the Word of God. How does God view the things that we get involved in? That's the important matter. Not what we think with our earthly mind. We have to be in alignment with the Word of God. Then there will be a great reward. A great reward. A great inheritance. You have a great inheritance when you choose to live according to the Word of God. Amen.